Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Health Blast Radio. Thank you so much for joining us. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher of Alternative Medicine and Wellness Radio. It is going to be a great year, 2015. We are going to have several of our guests who are inspirational, telling their stories, sharing a lot of their tips about how to live a holistic life and love it. We all have all kinds of challenges these days, and we say we'll try things. We don't get the greatest results, or sometimes it's just mediocre. But we're going to learn to love a holistic life. Isn't that great? We're going to learn that it's great to get up in the morning. It's fabulous if it rains, and it's absolutely incredible that we have these challenges and all of the things we can learn from that. And isn't life just a roller coaster? So thank you so much for joining us. Please check us out on Health Blast Radio on Facebook and also Health Blast 2015 on Twitter. Also our website, drjeanettegallagher.com, for more information. We also have a women over the age of 50 group starting February 1st, which will be sharing a lot of information about how to help us and ourselves. As we are women, we are also caregivers. We are also part of this world that will be bringing more compassion and empathy towards others. Please do join, and please do check it out on our website, Dr. Jeanette Gallagher. And now, back to the show. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the show. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and it's a pleasure to have you with us here today on Alternative Medicine and Wellness. We're going to have a great show today. It's going to be talking about these things that in our life, we just seem like, gosh, you know, I'm on this pinwheel somewhere, or why is this always happening, or gosh, I thought I kicked that in the, you know, the butt a long time ago, or I thought I've learned all my lessons, and why is this keep coming up, and why is this always looking like this? And really, when we get into this life we're talking about now, this life we are having, we say, what influence does our past life have on it? What does our karmic past have on it? And what are the things that are going on in our life today? How can we move forward? You know, I can tell you I've spent probably a better of the past, it's over 15, almost 20 years now, speaking with shamans, intuitives, angel readers, Reiki people, scalar light energy healers, past life people, all kinds of different healers that are out there. And everyone would share their little bit and say, this is what we can help, this is what we can do, and they would do their work. And it got to me, and I was thinking about this the other day. I said, my goodness, do we all come this lifetime with all of these things going on in our past, all of our past life and our karma? Or, gosh, do I just have a way whole lot more than other people? And I'm thinking, my goodness, if we are doing all this clearing on me all these 20 years, what's up with the people that don't have any clearing? How are they making it through life? You know, I don't know. I really need to know, too, from our guest about how we can actually learn to start doing this past life clearing for ourselves. You know, they say meditation and they, bring in the light and all these things. And you're saying, I'm doing it. And it just isn't working. What am I missing? So we'll have a great call today. My guest is Sherry Hobson. She's an intuitive counselor, internationally known author and speaker, and she's highly effective in dealing with karmic conditions. You know, I was speaking with Sherry, it was about a week or two ago, and I would say a word and she says, oh, past life, I'll fix that. Oh, past life, I'll fix that. And I'm thinking, my goodness, you know, we could get down a list. You know, I wrote up on my computer the other day a list of, I got 7 pages of things that are like things in the wind, and I'm going, we're going to do all those 7 pages? You know? So maybe Sherry could give us a little insight on today about how to live today, how to clear up some of these issues to keep us going forward, and what are we really looking for as a goal? You know, when we think about health conditions, we always say, here's my medical labs. Fix me. I want to be perfect. Even today, I saw a commercial on TV, and it said the doctor was checking the little girl, and he said, she's perfect. And I'm thinking, what is perfect? Why do we need to be perfect? And actually, what is perfect? Is that someone who has had no past, no present, no future, everything's hunky-dory, and they just, you know, living a life of lollipops and cotton candy, as we say? Really interesting show today. So yes, we are taking callers, and if you'd like to ask Sherry a question today, the call-in number is 424-258-9318, and please be sure to push 1 so you will be in the queue to be able to ask a question. So Sherry, thank you so much for joining us today. It's a pleasure to have you with us.
Well, thank you, Dr. Jeanette. It's such a great pleasure to be here and spend some time with you today and connect.
Well, it's such a pleasure. And, you know, did you not love my beginning part? I mean, how many
of
these things I got?
I did. The intro. Did a great job there.
I've got 7 pages of these things, and I'm going, now, wait a minute, there's no way.
Right. I'm like, such a list to tackle.
I'm telling you. But then we look at, you know, is it supposed to be perfect and everything's supposed to be hunky-dory, or are we supposed to just, you know, get through life, I think, kind of weeding us through these as snow piles, as we would say, and just hope that they just don't fall on us. Is that the goal of life? You know, so
you know,
I guess maybe what is that idea that you think about?
You know, a lot of what I work with is where we're finding disharmony in life, and through the emotional aspect of life that are creating us not to get our desires, not to receive our desires, and also not to be able to accomplish, you know, what we truly set out to, and that in which creates disease as well, right? So a lot of what I work with is how we're creating that disharmony, you know, from being away from our goals. But the soul never does anything without a purpose to it. There is something that we're supposed to be learning from that disharmony. So if we're put into a place of disrespect, we can learn respect. And if we're put into a place of not having any power, we learn the essential aspect of power, right? And so all this disharmony in life does teach us what we do need to know. A lot of times, though, that 2x4 will hit us over the head 2 or 3 or 4 times, and we don't even realize, and we can't see what we're doing wrong to get that 2x4 to stop hitting us. That's partly what I work with, is that unseen part of the emotional aspects from those past lives that are carried forward with us, and the basis of our perception of our ideas and how that doesn't really align with our desires, right? But our goals and our desires are nothing more than the lack of in our lives to begin with, right? And then we seek out that lack of. And that's that catalyst that gets us to move and to learn and to explore life the way that we should be exploring it.
Ah, that explains the dent in the back of my head. Okay.
Yes.
I said to someone the other day, I says, my gosh, I swear, I feel like the back of my head is changing. Oh, Lord, you know, but we feel all these and we know this and we sense it. And you know, I think sometimes, or some people just, for lack of a better way to say it, are they just brain dead and don't, they go through life and just, it doesn't faze them? And there might be other people who are just intuitive and are just like, on every single corner, it's like, stop the sensory input.
Well, you know, when you see that versus somebody else seeing it, when it's happening to them and it's not bothering them, it's because it's not part of their karma at that time. It's not up for them to learn at that time. And it is up for you to learn at that time, so you're aware of it, and you're aware of what's going on. It's like you've already learned that lesson, or you're going through it, so you're more aware of that energy. When somebody else is going through it, and they seem to be like, you know, like it's going right over their head, they're not paying attention, it's like, hey, wait a minute. You know, that can create this, 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 and this. And they're like, huh, what? What are you talking about? It's because it's not their lesson at that point. They're learning something else. And they're focused on something else as far as their energy. So
because
they're not taking it in the same as you are.
Right, we see it quite often. We say, you know, I see it in healthcare. I'm like, I mean, are you telling me those 3 2-liters of soda were okay for you for dinner? You know, or, you know, I haven't seen a green thing in my diet and I'm in my 60s ever in my entire life and it's okay. And or you see, you know, people that, you know, they have 5 and 6 and 7 speeding tickets in 6 months and they're still holly jolly people. You know, I don't know.
Yeah.
and
it's because,
where is the world?
Right. And it's because their gutter levels are quite deep, you know, and people, I always have to see somebody break down a foundation before they can start a new path. And so they have, they're normally hitting that gutter before they actually start that new path, and they just haven't hit the bottom of that gutter yet in order to experience the pain of where they need to do to choose a new path, right? But, you know, at the same time, that person that never put those greens in their lives, you know, at the age of 60, didn't have the same lessons of maybe that self-improvement or that knowledge of self, self-nurturing, and they didn't need that in this lifetime, so therefore it's not affecting their chromosomes and their genetic structure. You know, the same, because it didn't have the same emotional input. You know, that somebody else that needs self-nurturing and has that lesson of self-nurturing, you know, within that caretaker soul group, or, you know, that pathway. And so the chromosomes are more active and more connected in this lifetime to create genetic diseases.
Well, would you say that people can do clear some of this karmic work? Clear some of this past life stuff on their own, or do they really need to have some help? Because sometimes, you know, London Bridge is pretty heavy for a lot of people, you know?
Right, exactly. You know, there are ways to clear it yourself. There are ways to get around it and understand, you know, that path in which you're taking. One of the easiest, there are several different ways for them to do it. When I do it, I can go in and clean the fragmentations and the vortexes and all that kind of stuff from past life and actually, you know, see the design of the soul from lifetime to lifetime to lifetime as to what it's trying to master, what it's trying to accomplish, and where it's trying to go, you know, at that point as far as its destiny. But if you don't have that ability, you know, the best way to look at it is to look at your goals that you have in life, you know, to write down all those goals. And when you write down those goals, you sit there and ask yourself, why do I want to obtain that goal? How does it make me feel when I obtain that goal? Does it make me feel more respected? Does it make me feel more important? Does it make me feel like I belong? Does it make me feel as if I can now be intelligent? You know, whatever that is, you know, is the outcome is actually the karmic baggage that you're carrying in from past life. And that will help you to open the doors to actually see. Because the goal is the outcome in the tool that you're using to fulfill that emotional aspect. And so breaking it down that way and looking at it going, okay, I am learning that aspect of respect. So now I need to look at why I don't respect other people or why they don't respect me, and to start to see that it's a false statement, to start to see that it was just a story that you're telling the universe and putting out that energy. And then take it from looking at it on a daily basis on, oh, somebody just did respect me because they held me in high regard. I just held somebody else in high regard, so I respected them. And start to have that as a center focal point of your life. And you end up jumping over all that, all those little gutters, and start to move forward.
Interesting. Wow. That's something to digest for another day, or maybe later when I re-listen to it and start working on my seven pages, as so they say.
Right, exactly.
Well, sure, we have some callers. Would you be interested in taking some calls today?
Sure, not a problem.
Okay. Caller, you're live on the air. What is your name and where you're calling from? Hello.
Joanne from Florida.
Hi, Joanne. Do you have a question for Sherry?
Well, I was hoping maybe two small ones. I was wondering, what is blocking my career? What can I do to make more money, obviously, and still be happy doing it?
Okay.
My second question was, is there a message from any of my past loved ones, maybe my mother?
Okay. Let me take your career question first, okay,
sure.
Because, of course, that's influencing money, correct? There is an aspect of you that's still stuck as a three-year-old child, a little bit prior than three, right around 2.5 years old. And there's a fragmentation there, and it has to do with not being loved, not being important enough. And I want to use a different word than important, but not being first. So that you're not coming in as strong as what you need to. But there, that aspect actually shows up when you go into work. You actually feel as if you have to struggle more for attention for what you do than in reality. Okay, and that's what's keeping you back, believe it or not. It's the energy of not, of feeling like you have to struggle for more attention for what you do.
Okay,
and that's a block. So when you go into work, one of the things I want you to pay attention to is that you work not for other people, that you work for the satisfaction and the fulfillment of your own self. And through that, other people benefit.
Right.
Okay, and there's two reasons why I want you to do that. One is because you will learn, you're in a soul group called the Caretaker Soul Group. And in the care, you're in two different soul groups. One of them's a teacher, one of them's a caretaker. But within the caretaker soul group, you always put everybody first before your own needs, and it's teaching yourself that your needs are just as important as everybody else's. Okay? And so, and then that in itself will create more money for you and more of a fluctuation and be able to get better positions.
Now, am I in the right field, or do I need to change fields?
No, I do think you are in the right field. That feels like that's totally in alignment.
Okay.
But I do want you to look at when people need you within that field, that you're actually fulfilling your purpose, not fulfilling theirs.
Right.
Okay? And so that will turn it around for you and create more income and actually create more flow, but it also opens up the door for higher opportunities.
Sure. Okay.
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 Just a quick, I wasn't planning on doing any mediumship work today, but I will do a quick message from a mother figure on the other side. They do worry, and this is, but I'm going to clarify something. When people cross over, they still have their own emotional issues. They don't really change. So it feels like her fear, not yours, but she has a fear of you spending too much time alone.
Hmm.
Okay, and I want to clarify that because that does feel like her emotion, not your emotion, because for you, I don't think you feel that way, but that's her feeling. So she spends a lot of time around you.
Wow. Okay.
Okay, because she just doesn't want you to be alone. Okay?
Okay.
So.
Okay.
There you go.
Thank you so much.
You are so welcome. You're so welcome. You have a great day.
You too. Thank you.
Thank you. So, Sherry, a lot of times, you know, what that is important to say is that we can sense these, as you said, the mother that passed over, that emotion coming through. Like you're saying, you know, and I think sometimes, you know, I've even had instances where I've had like where they call it the psychic attack. I'm laying there and all of a sudden it's like, who just ran over me, you know?
Right, right.
And I've even said that to, you know, some of my angel friends and they're like, oh my gosh, what happened? And it's like, it just did. So how can you protect yourself, or is it important to protect yourself in those instances? In other words, if her mother is feeling that, you know, is it maybe that she needs to be stronger herself, or she needs to separate that space, or in my case too, you know, how do you separate that without putting a wall up of defense, you know?
For one, she needs to tell her that she's okay, that she's not really alone like she thinks she is. And that she just keep referring and talking to her mother, even though she's on the other side, letting her know, I'm okay, I'm okay, I'm okay. Don't worry about me. So that the mother lets go on the other side, because that is her issue. It was her fear. It's what she went through, and so she carried it over. But what we need to do to actually, you know, like what you said, a lot of people are subject to picking up a lot of that energy because like energy attracts like energy. So if you're going through depressed and all of a sudden you've got a depressed spirit around you, or somebody that's walked through to, you know, come see you, or even walking through a shopping mall or hospital or something like that, and you're picking up all that depressed energy because it is like energy attracts like energy. So keeping your vibration and frequency high with catching those that negative little bully in your head, you know, that bully that you use upon yourself, and the negative thoughts, catching that as often as you can. To saying, wait a minute, that's not what I want to manifest, that's not what I want to attract, so it's not truth, you know, is the first step, because we always have to keep those thoughts clear. The second step is always to practice putting a white light around yourself to raise that vibration and frequency. Take a couple of minutes of meditation, put that white light around you, white or pink, either one works, and just raise that vibration, raise that frequency, and just know that you're attracting light rather than that negative lower vibration frequency thought.
Cool. Yeah, because I've heard that quite often, you know, from a lot of healers. You know, sometimes they're working very hard, and then by the end of the week, they're like, I'm baked, you know, I can't go on any further. And they've taken on a lot of that energy and that denseness that comes in, because really you do want to connect with them where they are. But then it's like, how do you, you know, almost like, how do you clear yourself of that to go into the next situation? Because it will take part of you with it.
Mm-hmm. A lot of times, and I've gotten to the point where I don't pick up that energy when I'm working any longer because I read it and I just understand, you know, what that is, so I'm not, I'm no longer picking it up and no longer, you know, attached to it when I'm working. But, you know, one of the things, our minds are very, very powerful things. If you think you're going to attach, you're going to attach. If you think you're going to pick it up, you are going to pick it up. If you think you're going to need protection, you're going to need protection. Whatever you think in the universe has to fulfill that thought and match that energy. You know, so I know no longer that I am not a threat, that nothing is a threat to me as far as energy on the planet, because I understand the negative and the positive and the forces and what we utilize it for and what it is there for. So, therefore, I never pick it up any longer.
Great. Wow. A lesson to practice. We have another caller. Okay.
Okay.
Hello, caller. You're on the air. What is your name and where are you calling from? Hello.
Hello.
Would you like to ask Sherry a question?
Yes. I'm sorry. I didn't know you were talking to me.
Go ahead.
Hi. Good afternoon.
Hi, Sherry.
Hi. What's your name?
Nikki.
Nikki. Okay. How can I help you today, Nikki?
I was wondering... as far as you were talking about blocks and things, if you've seen anything I needed to be concerned about as far as blocks or health-wise?
I want to take the blocks. The health might take a little bit too long on the radio because that's just futuristic stuff, you know, that's not really relevant today. I do want to say you've got a heavy creative force behind you. Lots of creative energy. It's where your problem-solving energy comes from. That has totally been blocked for you for about a good 6 or 8 months, a little bit closer to 8 months. And so you kind of need to, in order to balance things back out for yourself as far as getting that creative energy to unblock, you need to become a little bit more active in the afternoon hours, like taking a walk or whatever, because as soon as you get active, as soon as you walk, as soon as you do that kind of stuff, it folds for you, okay? It opens it up for you. But also you need to get yourself involved in a project where it has a little bit of creative problem solving as long as adding organization, okay? To organize some things and use some creative problem solving with it. And that will completely unblock that energy for you.
Okay.
Okay? But that one right now is one of your biggest blocks. It's affecting the right-hand side of the body, which is the male energy side, and it's creating a little bit more dominance with male energy around you.
Okay.
Okay. And that's the one I would work on.
Okay. And can you tell me what soul groups I'm in?
Yeah, you are in the Justice Soul Group, which is about the balances of fairness, right and wrong, and learning to allow. The aspect of learning to allow, and then also you're in, and this is slight, this isn't really heavy, you're in another one, hang on 1 second, let me get that. Communicator Soul Group. And in the Communicator Soul Group, it's learning that your words have value, that your ideas have value.
Oh, thank you.
Okay, those two.
I do clairvoyant and clairaudient readings for people, and you're just right on the money today.
Yep. That's it. So, that's some of the stuff you're working on. karmically, your karmic, with the soul groups that you're trying to master.
Okay. Well, thank you,
okay.
Sherry.
You're so welcome.
Uh-huh.
You have a great day.
Let's see. We have a few more callers. Let's try another line. Hello, you're on the air. What is your first name and where are you calling from?
First name is Robert.
Hi, good afternoon, Robert.
Hi, how are you? I'm calling from New Orleans.
Oh, good afternoon from New Orleans. How can I help you today?
I was just wondering if you could see anything. I'm having some issues physically. I have a pain in my back. I'm considering a move to Florida and the normal issues that go with that, financial and all.
Yeah, the pain in your back is the fear of not feeling supported, not being supported, right? That's an easy one. But I've got another energy that's coming in there that's also the memory from a past life death, past life injury, and past to the upper right hip was broken in a past life. And I've got the energy coming in from there, too. There's a fragmentation. So it's creating that. It's creating between not the fear of not being supported and the fear of not being able to accomplish it because of that broken hip is coming in.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And so I can release that pain off the hip area and get that past life, the fragmentation actually cleared for you to make that actually feel better for you.
Okay.
So I'll start clearing that and kind of work on that a little bit for you. But also, I want you to understand something else. You know, one of the things that if you go into Florida, that the universe, it's not the location that supports you, it's the universe that supports you, okay?
Okay.
And that just because you're changing locations doesn't mean that you're cutting yourself off from the universe, right?
Okay.
And that you've got to remember that the universe is going to supply everything for you, whether you're in New Orleans or whether you're in Florida. So it's always going to be there for you. Okay?
Okay.
Okay. Now, I just want you to take one quick second here while I just finish up, just clearing up that. You actually fell off a horse in a past life and broke that hip later on in life and never regained it.
Okay, that's possible.
Yeah, and never regained it. So during that lifetime, it made you more codependent because of that broken hip, and there's a fear about being codependent when you move down to Florida. And so that's why it flared back up on you.
Okay.
And there you go, Robert.
How far back was the past life?
It was late 1700s.
Okay.
So it's coming in a few lifetimes ago. But it was late 1700s.
Okay.
There you go, Robert. It's all cleared up.
Okay.
If you can, take a minute to stand up for a second and just check on that.
All right.
How does that feel, standing up and sitting back down again?
I don't feel anything as of right now.
Yep, good. Yeah, it's all cleared up.
That's good.
Yeah, it's all cleared up.
That's good.
I want you to remember that, you know, that the universe supports you no matter what location you're in, you know, and that you're extremely intelligent and you're capable of being able to make things right, work, okay?
Okay. Does that interfere with, I mean, the fear of finances, or is that part of it too as well, or is that something separate?
Well, no, that was part of that fear of not being supported.
Okay.
Okay, so just take that equation out of there and just understand that the universe is supporting you in all aspects, no matter where you're at. Doesn't matter your location.
Okay, good.
Okay?
Okay, good. Great. Thank you.
You are so welcome. You're so welcome. Have a good day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You know, Sherry, I think a lot of people have these concerns where things settle into our bodies and we're saying, you know, what is the source of that pain in my body? And we think it's just physical and, you know, a pill, a drug, or a doctor can fix it. And yet then we turn around and we say, you know, I'm just not getting any help. I don't know what it's all about. And when you're talking about past lives and how those could have settled in our body, that's such a profound difference for a lot of people to be able to understand.
Mm-hmm. I know, and it does make a difference. You know, and I'm working on a book right now where we use some thermographic imaging, and I took some chronically ill people and used the thermographic imaging to show the energy within the body and showed all the past life traumas that they had, you know, where they originated from. And once we cleared it, the before and afters, and then the medical records, you know, of what was going on with them before and after. But, you know, with the case of Robert, there was codependency and the fear of codependency. You know, so if you looked at it, and he actually looked at his emotional aspect and actually wrote it down and actually dug really deep into it, and his fear of not having that financial support, that fear of not being secure, all that kind of stuff, and then looked at what would that create, he would have come up with codependency sooner or later, right? Mm-hmm. So it's just digging deep into what that raw emotional aspect of the being is that we are still learning the lessons of. Right, because codependency is a lesson of strength.
Yeah, and I think you see the lesson sometimes, and we've touched on it so many times, and even this lifetime that we can remember. It's just that it's sort of like you dip your finger in either a fire or in peanut butter. You know, you aren't quite sure, and then you know what I mean? Like, and you don't know if it's a good feeling or not a good feeling, and you don't know if, you know. In other words, when you in the peanut butter, then you're going to have your hand slapped, and is that like good or bad? Or you get the same thing with the fire. So, in other words, that feedback.
Right. Well, you know, the feedback comes from our body when it starts to react differently. Okay, when the pain actually goes away, when we actually start to feel less depressive, we start to feel more engaged in life. We start to feel like we can actually accomplish again. When we start to come back in there, that's our feedback. That is the universe saying, you're back on the right track again.
Yeah.
That's what you need to look for.
Oh, goodness. We're looking for those, as I'd always say to people, you're looking for the runway lights. If they're not on, it's nothing you can do. You know, I mean, you just can't land there. You just got to keep going. Well,
that's
let's see. We have one more caller. Let's
see.
And... hello, you're on the air with Sherry. Would you like to ask a question? What is your first name and where are you calling from? Hello? If you're calling from 760 area code, you're on the air. And I guess they put their phone on Robo.
And that's from my area.
Yeah, well, we'll try to get in a few minutes. You never know. Maybe they just...
yeah.
So, I think sometimes about, you know, clearing those out. And, you know, a lot of times people will say, you know, you're dating the same type guys, you know, or you're going through life, and they always like to click you that cliche on there. Well, you're the only one that's the same person. When really all of those other relationships could have each been teaching you something. Hey, you got the message because you left them. You know, and then you're going on to the next one, and then you learn another lesson there and another lesson there. So maybe it's not quite the same as people tend to, you know, throw it into that social category.
Right. It's really not. That soul is moving forward. Mm-hmm. It's just that other people that have learned that lesson are still seeing them in that lesson, but they are moving forward. Right? Mm-hmm. And a lot of times, a person doesn't learn their karmic event in one lifetime. We're starting to because the energy has shifted and we're starting to learn things a little bit more quicker, you know, than what we did before. The energy on the planet is becoming a little bit less dense, you know, and so we're not sifting through things. But when I look at a soul and I look at the pattern in which their karmic conditions have been in, it looks like a bell curve over three or four lifetimes, where it takes a while for that pattern to build up, for them to have enough pain to say, oops, there's my lesson, I need to change, and then to start to move away from the energy. So it does look like a bell curve, and it goes through three or four lifetimes. It's not an overnight thing. And a lot of times, you know, people are just like, I'm just such in search of peace. You know, I just want peace in my life.
Right.
And it's not peace that we're ever after. It's acceptance. So within all these master soul groups and with all our karmic conditions, we're learning acceptance of one's own self. And that brings in peace. You know, so the more we start accepting things, the more we start allowing things and accepting of our own self, that's where that's where we really come into more of the harmony that we're actually seeking as a soul.
And, you know, sometimes I think, too, people, when they come to me for health conditions, you know, what they're really asking for, you know, is to fix me, fix me. It's not really fix me what they're asking, I don't think, sometimes there. What they're really asking for is to be out of the pain and suffering and the hole that they're in. And it's so that's what sometimes you hear it, because they'll say, my heart is broken. You know, I can't do what I have to do, or I need somebody else to take care of me. You can hear some of these things. I was even talking to someone just the other day, and they were telling me their story, and I was almost, actually I was on the phone with them probably for about an hour and a half, and it was so funny because the phone kept clicking off, and and I said, oh, it must be the airplanes going over. But I could really understand that maybe it was just that they were having a sense of they were in so much pain in their story that they were trying to get their story out with anger instead of getting their story out with passion, and it was two different things.
And also, people will stop themselves so that they still gain the attention from that illness as well. And so they'll stop themselves from moving forward, so because they're not ready to move forward yet because they haven't learned the lesson, so they'll stop themselves in order to stay in that spot to keep the pain going for the attention of it.
Yes, 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 yes.
Right?
Yes.
They're all tools that we use. You know, we use relationships as tools. We use illnesses as tools. They're all in that aspect of helping us to grow and to learn and to expand. It's just that we have to realize, what tool have I got in my hand at this point? What am I using and what am I trying to accomplish from it?
Yeah, I think at one time someone had said to me, they said, oh, well, I'm married. I don't have to worry about that anymore. I think it was something like losing weight or not feeling right or whatever it was. And all of a sudden, it just like dung in my head. It was like, what? I don't can't believe you just said that. I just don't know where that came from, you know?
Right.
But they had this idea that, you know, once they were married that, you know, everything and anything was taken care of, and they sort of like they lost their passion for life kind of idea. It was almost like they're just following through their moves to get to the other end. You know, and you can almost hear it sometimes if you can listen.
Right, right. They're covering up their emotional aspect by, you know, by saying certain things that validate them to move away from it, so they don't have to look at it.
Yeah, and I think if you look back in some of us, I mean, I've got generations of ancestors that are like that. You know, they've had a lot of that, and I think there's very few of us that out of this lineage that have really made it out of that. I think, I guess maybe I feel like sometimes like I would say to people, I feel like I'm crawling up a mountain by my fingernails, you know, to get out of that. And it's all of that generational stuff and the lineage. And it's just, I could just feel it all, you know, sometimes. And people will say that to you. I'm sure I'm not the first person that said that.
No, no, not at all. A lot of people feel like that at one point or another in their lives. Everybody has to, you know, go through that aspect of, you know, what did I just do? You know, but the greatest thing about becoming aware of the fact that we manifest everything and that there's a purpose behind everything is that once you realize that you've done this for a purpose, you no longer become the victim, and you can move out of it much, much quicker.
Yeah.
And you get, okay, I did this, so I have to change something. Instead of hitting that gutter, the gutters get a lot less deep, and we're able to move forward a lot quicker out of it. Even though sometimes it doesn't appear that way, we actually are.
Interesting. Let's try this other caller and see if they're there. Hello, 706, would you like to ask a question of Sherry? Hello? I guess they are. Hello? I can hear someone there, but they can't hear us, I guess. Okay. So, but Sherry, so sometimes, too, you know, when we look forward and we say, okay, so is this lifetime meant to be for everyone to be clear and everything's great? And sometimes it's not. Sometimes, like as you said, you know, this is just a passageway, and we may be learning a little bit more now. Is there going to be a time, you know, centuries or whatever, you know, way far advanced where all of this is just, you know, it's just going to be so different. In other words, most of our lessons will have been learned. And is that, you know, what we're looking for actually? And, you know, I guess we probably don't even know that answer, but really I'm looking, you know,
but
is
actually,
everybody
I'm,
in this,
actually,
is
I'm,
everybody
I'm working,
like in this world, you know?
I'm writing a chapter right now on that. So that was perfect timing on that question. You know, a lot of people, it's like, okay, what happens when I master this? What happens when I master that?
Right.
Well, life becomes a lot more easier because every part of that is an acceptance of a piece of ourselves, right? And so the more we accept of ourselves, the more we come into that self-love and that acceptance, the more we become closer to that destiny place of which every soul is trying to accomplish, every soul is trying to get to. And as the planetary changes, there was a huge planetary change in 1912 that created Uranus to go into the aspect of Aquarius, and it made the energy much, much denser, which made us much more reactive to the emotional aspects that set the chromosomes, you know, on a heightened level that created a lot more new diseases and a lot more diseases on the planet.
Right.
And as that energy becomes less dense in a couple hundred years from now, we go into another age where we become interactive with the energy immediately, and at that point the emotional aspect of our being no longer takes effect upon the planet. And so it is going to change dramatically within a couple hundred years. So if you're planning on reincarnating here in a couple hundred years, you know that it's going to be a much easier life.
Oh, now come on. Don't you someday sit down and say, I'm done, I'm over fried, I'm done?
Yeah, you know, usually when people say, I'm done with this planet, I'm done with this, it means you're so far from not being done.
It's the ones
that go, I love my life, I have everything, I love my life. Those are the ones that are getting close.
But in actuality, and I've heard people say that too, I'm so done with this, you know, like a sickness or an illness. And what they're really trying to say to me is that they're just tired of that aspect, you know.
Right.
You know, they are not necessarily always done with life or everything. They're just done with the game they're playing or the place that it is or, you know, the illness that's attached to them or the people that are around them. They're just done with them. It's just like, hey, you know, scratch it off. I need a new slate to start over again. And that's a good place to be, though, you know?
A very good place to be. Very good place to be.
Yeah, I think when people don't say I'm done, it's sort of like, that's denial. That's like, oh, come on, just let go of the side of the wall and fall in the hole, you know?
Right.
Save yourself some journey, you know?
Yeah, when they say they're done, it you know, it's like, well, you know, are you done because you're fed up? Or are you done because you finally learned?
Right.
You have to really ask yourself, you know, which aspect it really is.
Yeah.
Most of the time it's because they don't want to face it anymore.
Yeah. Now, like when we always say about too, you say about learn the lesson and about accepting of yourself. Sometimes some people say, well, I'm just not a good person. Am I supposed to accept that?
But why are you not a good person? Is it because you're too judgmental? Is it because you don't have boundaries? Why is it that you're not a good person, that you're actually judging yourself not to be a good person?
Yeah.
That's what they need to look at.
Oh, interesting.
You know,
because so many times you'll have people say that, you know, well, this is what I know, this is what it is, or I am accepting of myself and this is who I am. Or I've even had some people say to me, you know, yeah, I'm just a jerk, that's just who I am. And I'm going, what? You know?
Yeah, and that's normally a shield. That's not really normally truth.
Ah.
It's a shield protecting themselves from truth because the truth would hurt them, so they have to act more stronger, you know, bigger, so they don't feel that, right? But when you look at the master soul groups, all of them have lessons. With the communicator soul group, it's to connect, right? And to allow those words to have value. That's the acceptance that I'm talking about, is that my words have value. And to accept that rather than to have the fear of it. And so in the nurturer soul group, it is to love, but it's to love one's own self because they love everyone else, but they put themselves back. That is the aspect to overcome and to accept, is that self-love, that I'm equal to everyone else, right? Those are the aspects of the being that I'm talking about accepting.
Well, can people be in some different groups? And, like, how many groups are there? Is there, like,
There's 12 different soul groups that correlate in with the chakras, the 12 main chakras.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's 12 different soul groups that correlate in there, and each one has to do with development of that chakra and the lesson that correlates in with that chakra. And so most of the time I see people in 1 to 2 soul groups at a time. There are some advantageous souls that actually bring on three at a time, and I have run across one that had 4, but that's pretty rare. And normally it's because they're shifting out of a soul group, going into a new soul group.
Oh, interesting.
You know, and during that time period, that chakra will be their dominant chakra in which they operate from.
And when you have that soul group, like you said, so then you can move out of it and you can move in and out of it.
Yeah. Not normally during one lifetime, but you move in and out of it as a soul, you know, through your lessons.
Let's talk about kids for 1 second. We have a little bit more time. When you have kids, I know I have been told by many in the past that, you know, when they say that, what did they say? The kids chose us as a parent. And actually, in my situation, they said, no, that I chose the kids so I could help them. And I went, interesting, you know? And how do you look at that? And it's somebody said that to me, and I just went, okay.
Yeah, like, okay. Well, with a reincarnation, there has to be like energy has to attract like energy in order to fulfill those karmic patterns, you know, of the soul. You know, so if somebody has issues of power, they're going to be, you know, brought into a family of power, right, to navigate through it. And so when you choose your family, you are actually choosing the family that is of like energy. You can't be incarnated into a family that's not of like energy. And so when you choose that, you have to choose something that's going to take you down the same karmic pathways. You can't integrate into something that is not of your energy. And so there is the truth to that you do choose your patterns, you do choose your families, right? And I do think your children still chose, it was a mutual contracted agreement between you and your children. There was a contract on both sides, not just theirs, or not just yours, it was on both sides. But you did contract, you know, because you are the teacher soul, you know, you come in to help teach. And so, you know, it was contracted because you are a teacher soul. Almost all teacher souls hold contract with other individuals. And so that's what they were talking about. If it wouldn't have been your children, it would have been somebody else that you would have contracted with to help, you know, to open up doors with. Because that's part of being a teacher, is that you have to hold contracts on the earth plane to move people forward.
Because they've all had their challenges, and I think what has held strong is that I have zero judgment, and it didn't, you know, whatever had happened to them, I was always there for them. And we've always talked about that, and we thought how vitally important that was in their life. And, you know, that was something that really kept them going forward to keep going down that path and you know, all of its shifts and things that happened.
Exactly. And that was what your purpose was within them, is to be there for them, to support them, to be able to see that someone did have their back, that somebody was there for them, right? And that's the energy of the teacher, is to open up a doorway for somebody to walk through.
Yeah,
you know, to
and
be
not
able
be
to hold
slamming
that door
it behind
open.
Them, too. Yes, and not
or in front of them. Yeah, and so that is the energy of the teacher, to hold that door open.
Ah, interesting. Because, you know, so many people will say, you know, and you and I have talked about this before, about people listening, you know, when people speak. And it was interesting that we had a call, I think it was 2 nights ago, and someone I was talking to for a very extensive amount of time a few months ago. And I thought, oh my, and as soon as I got done talking, I went, oh, that went right over her head. She didn't get a word I said. 2 days ago, I heard some of the similar words that I had used come out of her spouse's mouth. And I went, She must have been listening.
Right,
so it's sort
exactly.
of like your words come back, and it's almost like you go, in other words, like if it grabs you and takes your breath, you say, ah, there was that connection. In other words, you sent those little seeds out, and all of a sudden now they went pop.
Right.
You know, you could almost feel that pop. It's so interesting. It was funny.
Yeah, it is. It is funny. And you know, it's like, and sometimes when you think, oh, she's not listening, that's just our story. She
yeah.
really is. She's going to pick up what she wants to pick up and move forward
right.
with it and engage in what she needs,
yeah.
not what we need her to need, right? And so
right.
it's a different way of looking at it.
Yeah, and it's so interesting sometimes to say you're speaking, but it's like, but you don't see it come back, and it's sort of like you just keep putting it out there in the air, and I really think that's a concept we have to all think about is maybe
mm-hmm.
we just have to keep putting out there and not knowing if it's coming back or not, because our job, as you said, being a teacher, is you just put those things out there and not
right.
worry about the comeback. And that's sometimes hard. I'll tell you, I had a hard time with it, but about things, you know, well, like, when you say something, it's not coming
part
back.
Of the, but that's part of the soul group, is learning that you're just the door opener, that you're not the one with the,
yeah.
that has the leash on them, dragging them behind, you know, allowing them to walk through the door themselves.
Yes.
And that's that lesson of the teacher.
And that's something that's, you know, in some times that's good, and I think it has hit me in the past, and I'm sure some of the listeners have had those same situations, you know,
mm-hmm.
and where it's just, if you just don't feel your worth sometimes. I've felt that. Other people have said to me, they've had the similar situations. They said, I just don't get it. You know, what is the point here? And the point here is you just keep opening doors, or planting seeds. I even had a friend say to me, what was that thing? Carry water, chop wood, or whatever it is. Just keep doing that, whatever that is, and
right.
keep doing that, you know. And to always remember, as you've said to Robert on here, the universe will take care of you, you know. If your
right.
job is to open doors, you better remember it's going to take care of you. I know I've said to people, they would say, oh, I'm so worried about this. And I'd say, okay, you're going to worry about it now for the next 3 weeks until that date. So is it going to change it? And they're like, no. I'll say, okay, then what are you wasting your time on?
Right,
and they're just
exactly.
like, what? You know?
You know, exactly. You know, I've had that conversation myself. And, you know, and I say,
yeah.
you know, with the, when we get over to the other side, we have a meeting with our archivist, that our soul that helps set up our lives, that helps us to, you know, record everything for us. And when you have that
mm-hmm.
meeting with them and they say, what did you learn? What did you accomplish? What did you master in this lifetime? You know, you don't want to have that conversation of saying, well, I spent 4 years mad at so-and-so, so I held myself back because I just wanted to stay mad. You
yeah.
know? You don't want to ever have those conversations, so don't waste your time. Don't waste your days away.
Absolutely. You know, it's funny, on many of my other shows before, I have had the conversation, and I've said many times, is when you get up to the pearly gates, God does not sign for UPS, so you'd best figure out how to get rid of that crap now, because you do not want to be dragging it along with you, you know?
No, you don't. Nope, you do not. So, you know, look at what you're actually holding on to, and you got to realize that every time we're holding on to something, it's not
mm-hmm.
you know, staying mad at, you know, Tom, Dick, or Harry doesn't really matter, because
mm-hmm.
you're not hurting them. The only person you're hurting is yourself, you know, and
yeah.
That energy comes back to you and
mm-hmm.
actually creates a lot of karmic issues and a lot of effects to come over, and just taking away time from other things.
Well, let's talk about that for a second. You also say about being mad. There's some families or people that you know or you've interacted with, and you do need to cut the cords with them. And even families of origin, people need to cut the cords, because
right.
those other people may not be at that same level. And you can't keep sucking the well dry, you know. You can't keep trying to take that energy out of me. And, you know, granted, people will be in those spaces and they'll build up their energy, but sometimes when people say, well, I go home for Christmas and it's blah, 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 you know the story. And it's
right.
sort of like, well, are you interacting with them? Do you need to cut the cords with some of them? Or how grave of an issue is it? And then change the story around it.
Exactly. First of all, change the story around it. You know, change, mm-hmm. why is that person acting that way? Stop becoming a victim of their behavior because mm-hmm. you're making it against yourself, not with their emotional issue. Or do they have an emotional issue where they feel like they have to be the center of attention? Do they have an mm-hmm. emotional issue where they have to control everything? You know, mm-hmm. what is going on and why do they have that emotional issue? And why are they using you to put that Band-Aid over that emotional issue, right? Because mm-hmm. you're mirroring it somehow. Somehow you've got that same energy without realizing it and bringing it up. And so if you can change the story around it, not make it about you, make it about the fact that they need to satisfy that emotional wound. They are looking for nurturing for that wound. And say, that's what that behavior is. And so mm-hmm. you can take yourself out of the equation first, then change the story of it, and then go through and say, okay, now do I need to cut the cords? Is it that severe where it's abusive that I need to move away from it?
Because everybody is here to learn their some lessons. And sometimes those people in other words, sticking their finger in the fire all the time, you know,
right.
it's sort of like you just got to stop. And you just have to say, I've heard people probably as much as just the other day say to me, yeah, I've cut the cords of my family, but you could still hear that anger in their voice. So I guess you really kind of didn't, you know? Maybe you,
right, you didn't.
Thought you
yeah.
did, or you did
mm-hmm.
it in spite, and you still
mm-hmm.
have some other, like, lasting thing there. And
yeah,
they're
you're
like,
still
oh,
playing
yeah.
the victim.
Right, and they're like, oh, yeah, but, you know, I know, but I still have cancer. And it's like, okay, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, they're still playing the victim. If they've done it out of anger and they've done it out of spite, they still are the victim,
mm-hmm.
you know, within that, which means they're still taking on that energy. They're still taking on that emotion. If they did it with saying, I no longer have any need for that. I feel completely free.
Mm-hmm.
I have no need to experience that anymore. That is much, much different.
Mm-hmm.
You know, then you know you've cut the cords.
And that for many people can
behind.
Take a... Many people, that can take a lifetime to learn that, too. So, and
yeah.
that's, you know, some
sometimes
people may be
two
able
or three.
To, some people may be able to click that on or off, you know, and some
mm-hmm.
people can't. And I think that's very important for the listeners to understand that is most of the things that you've said today seemingly, okay, well, I can clear this, I can clear that. It may be as simple as that, but it may also not be as simple as that. Like you
mm-hmm.
may be able to clear out a past life thing, but still your issues around how you got there or how you have to affect it in this life is really just as important.
Correct. That
you know.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's not a Band-Aid, you know, as you've said, to be able to have all of these things happen and say, oh, well, it's good to go, you're good to go. And kind of that's not always the answer. So I think, you know, having everybody's help, you know, as I've said in the beginning, you know, I've seen many practitioners. I could tell you I could probably write a book, but, hey, I've got all my stuff written down on the desk. I probably got a couple thousand pages of stuff. But <don't
Yeah.
laughs> but when we say that, you know, is that, you know, you visit. I kind of always dipped my finger in the peanut butter, you know. I always wanted to check things out. I was very
mm-hmm.
inquisitive because,
mm-hmm.
you know, I just thought it made me a much rounded person. I loved to check things out. I will be the first one, if it's pouring rain, to go outside the next day to see if the fern is growing on the tree where it never is and it just shows up when it rains, you know.
Right.
Or things like, you know, yesterday the salamander was, I mean, the, yeah, I guess it was, the gecko. He was hanging sideways on the side of the fence, and I just looked at it and I said, oh, are you holding out for dear life too, you know? But, you know, it's just to be lightness about the day, you know, because there are a lot of those down times. There are a lot of those times where we say, man, it's just going to hit you like nobody's business. But also
mm-hmm.
to be able to have that time and that space to say, oh, yeah, that was funny. You know, hey, I took a picture of the guy. Go, yeah, we're both holding on for life. But 10 minutes later, he was gone. So, you know, and let those things go. And I think that's what really you're saying is that see, recognize, feel, sense, talk about it, work through it, whatever it is. Just sitting there saying, oh, it's supposed to be. It's required. That's who I am. That's the way it is. Is a totally other book that we don't really want in this life. We want to be able to move through these things.
Mhm. Mhm. Very, very good. You summed it up very, very nicely.
Well, you know, Sherry, it was a pleasure to have you with us today. We've come to the end of the show. We went through that hour pretty quickly.
Yeah, we did. We moved through that very, very quickly. Thank you. I really appreciate it, spending some time with you today.
Well, it was great having you. And, you know, when you have that book done, you're welcome to come back on the show or at any time. We're always here.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Have
Thank
a great
you.
Week.
You too. If you'd like to find out more information about Sherry Hobson, her information is on the bottom of today's show page with her link directly to her website. And please do check it out, because really Sherry is just another aspect of being able to help us get through this life with a little bit more ease. I'll tell you, you know, just like the gecko, you know, he could be hanging on the ceiling, hanging down, and it's like, okay, maybe that's my day today. But I look back and say, you know what, hey, it wasn't my day today. I had a great day. So please do check out how Sherry, and her website is sherryhobson.com, and she is also on Facebook, and she is also on Twitter. So thank you so much for joining us today, and please have a wonderful day. Thank you so much for joining us today here on Alternative Medicine and Wellness. It has been a pleasure to be with you, and we hope you found more information that will be able to make your life just a little bit easier. You know, it's not an easy trip all the time in this life, and sometimes we say, you know, if I could just maybe hear it from somebody else, or maybe hear that someone else's story might be similar to mine, or maybe just gain a few extra tips to make my journey a little bit easier. Please join us on Health Blast Radio every day for the year 2015, where we will be having so many different practitioners, all kinds of authors, just regular people like you and I, having a casual conversation about a different topic almost every day. Check out our website for more information on the Women Over Age 50 group. It is drjeanettegallagher.com. You can always just Google my name, Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and you will find out so much more information about upcoming radio shows, about other websites I have, other programs we are currently doing. And if you just need help, please pick any of the websites, any of the links, and send me a private message. Thank you so much for joining us today on Health Blast Radio. It's been an absolute pleasure, and please, just in the morning, before you reach for that cell phone or the television remote or even your glasses, open your eyes and say, thank you, God, for another day. It's been a pleasure. And have a great day.